Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. Genesis, chapter 4, in your Schofield Bible, page 10. There's too many words there in my mouth. We'll be reading verses 1 through 8. We'll read the verses responsively. Shall we stand, please, as is our custom to do at First Baptist? And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And let's pray. Father, there are meetings tonight where men pit their skill against other men. There are meetings tonight where men decide the fate of other men. There are meetings tonight where the future and fate of nations hang in the balance. But no meeting so important is held tonight as important as this meeting. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for the preaching of thy word and how we pray tonight that we would see something of the glory of that place that you prepared for each of us who believe thee, who trust the Savior. And so bless our preacher. Grant him that which he needs that we might have what we need from thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Listen very, very carefully. I'm going to start in the Garden of Eden and take you all over to the New Jerusalem tonight. And so I'll be teaching a lot as well as preaching. So I ask you to listen very, very carefully as I get this other microphone out of the way. Talk to you a while about heaven. God placed Adam and his wife Eve in the garden. And God gave to them a child. His name was Cain. Then God gave to Adam and Eve second son. His name was Abel. In the process of time, God told Adam and his family how to be saved. You say, how do you know? Well, there were no Bibles in those days, and the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So they could not have had faith, but it says in Hebrews 11, I think it's verse 6, it says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So if he offered it by faith, that means that he had to have the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is about what happened. One day, God told Adam and Eve and his family, no doubt he told Adam and Eve beforehand, and then Adam perhaps told his sons, that they were sinners. They knew that. Adam and Eve knew they were sinners when they were separated from God and partook of the forbidden fruit and tree. God then said in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 that one day the heel of the seed of man, a woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and that the head of the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of woman. So what God was doing was promising that someday the Messiah would come. Every Jew knew that. Testament person knew that one day the Messiah would come, and they knew that Messiah would pay the price for the sins of mankind and be their substitute. Every Jew who was saved in the Old Testament knew when he offered that lamb that that lamb wasn't the sacrifice for sin, but that lamb was a picture of the sacrifice for sin. We get baptized up here. We know that doesn't save you. It's a picture of what did save us. And so Adam taught his sons, Cain and Abel, that they'd have to put their trust and their faith in that coming Messiah. You see, since Calvary, we're saved by looking back to the Messiah, and before Calvary, saved by looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, and they were saved the same way we're saved, by grace through faith, and everybody ever has been saved will be and has been saved by grace through faith. So, one day, Cain and Abel came to present their offerings. The Bible says in the process of time, that means the ending of days. It was the Sabbath day, and it was time to come and present their offerings. Well, Cain knew what to do. He knew someday the Messiah would come, but Cain did not trust the Messiah, and Cain did not bring an offering that was an animal sacrifice. Abel, however, had trusted the coming Messiah as his hope for heaven, and brought the animal sacrifice as a picture of the fact that he had trusted the coming Messiah, and Abel was saved. Not saved by trusting that lamb he brought, but saved by trusting the lamb that was going to come someday, about whom John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." Cain brought, don't miss this now, I'm coming back to it in about a couple hours, so don't miss this. Cain did not bring a lamb, he brought some squash and okra and turnip greens and things like that. And so he brought of the fruit of the ground, of the crop, if you please. No animal sacrifice, no blood sacrifice, and God did not have respect to that. Cain was saying that he would not trust the coming Messiah and did not believe in the vicarious death or the sin, or the substitutionary death of an innocent sacrifice that God would become himself. So Abel was saved, and Cain was angry. And Cain, the Bible says he was wroth. And God said to Cain, look, don't be angry. There's a lamb right there crouching at the door. He'll jump up in your arms if you'll do it. God was showing him that he wanted to save him. But Cain refused that, and so he got angry about it. And we fundamentalists get criticized for being hate mongers. The truth is, the liberal crowd's the one that hates. It wasn't the fundamentalist that killed the liberal. It's the liberal that killed the fundamentalist here. And so Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel, and Abel went to heaven. Now I'm going to trace him all the way from that time when he went to heaven all the way throughout eternity. Where did he go? He went to paradise. Now what was paradise? By the way, his soul went to paradise, or his spirit, and his body went to the grave. And the body of Abel is still in the grave and will stay in the grave until the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. So Abel went to paradise. Now listen carefully. Paradise was not the heaven that they have now. It was a heaven, but not the heaven that they have now. It was not the final heaven either, or the New Jerusalem of Revelation 21 and 22. Now, why was it then that Abel and all the Old Testament saints did not go to the heaven we have now, but to paradise? Exactly this, because Jesus had not yet paid the price for their salvation. It's an old illustration, but I've used it time and time again. It's the best I know. You ladies, back in the old days, when I was a boy and we were young, we couldn't afford to pay cash for anything. We'd buy it on credit. And they have what they call a layaway plan. Do they still have layaway plans? And you go down, and you pay down on a suit or a dress or a watch, and the company would keep it. And they would, let's suppose that this is going to represent we were paid down on something. Okay, the company would keep it. And so they'd take it over here, and they'd put it away and reserve for you. But when you left, you didn't take the merchandise, but you made weekly or monthly payments. Now, after you paid it out, then they got the merchandise out of what they call layaway, and now you have it. It's yours now because you paid for it. Now, the Old Testament saints were saved sort of on layaway. They went to paradise, which was a heaven, but not the heaven now where our loved ones are or where Abel is now. But Abel went to paradise and stayed in paradise in a heaven called paradise. Now, while he was there, he had a body, according to Luke 16. He had a body, he had eyes, he had a tongue, and he had a what we call a psuchial or a soul kind of body. Now, his body that he had on earth was in the grave. And will stay there, as I said, until the first resurrection. I said, while I go at the end of the millennium, that isn't true. It'll stay there till the rapture, and it'll be raised. But we'll get to that after a while. Now here he is up in paradise. He was later joined by others, like his mom and dad. Adam and Eve came, and Cain, of course, died and went to hell. He will later welcome Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Aaron and Joshua and David and Elijah and Elisha and all the others until the thief on the cross. Everybody who died in Christ after Abel died until the thief died on the cross went to this heaven called paradise. From there, he had a bird's eye view of the flood. He had a bird's eye view of the crossing of the Jordan. He saw the walls of Jericho crumble. He saw the manna from heaven. In fact, he may have helped load some of it up every morning and sort of pushed it out over the banister of heaven. But he saw where the manna was stored in heaven. The Bible calls it angel's food. And for a long time before the next saved person got there, Abel had all the angels by himself. I recall years ago, and I hadn't thought about this in a long time. Several years ago, I was preaching in out on the West Coast in the San Francisco area. And I got on the airplane to fly back through the night. I was the only passenger. Had a pilot and a co-pilot and four stewardesses. Wow. And those fellows were good stewards, too. But anyway, I was the only passenger on that plane. I'm talking about Two pilots and four stewardesses on that plane. And you talk about service. I got service. One came, brought me a cold drink. One came, brought me a martini. The peanuts. And just want to see if you're listening, that's all. And but think of all the service that Abel must have gotten. For a long time, he was the only one up there beside the angels and, of course, the Trinity. Well, he saw Elijah on Mount Carmel. In fact, he got to welcome Elijah up into paradise because Elijah was caught up there and in his physical body, and Elijah's still up there right now in his physical body. And so he welcomed Elijah. He saw God send the Ten Commandments. Can you imagine how it must have been when Abel saw Jesus leave heaven? Can you imagine how he must have felt when he saw the Father and the Son say goodbye to each other? We don't say enough about that. We don't say enough. We talk about God gave His own Son. But for 33 years, the Father and the Son were separated from each other. And the Father, knowing that after 33 years, He was going to have to turn His back on His own Son because His Son was going to become sin for us. And Abel saw that tender parting when God the Father said goodbye to God the Son. And angels waved goodbye to the Son of God. And the Son of God left the glories of heaven for 33 homesick years on earth. That all, Abel saw all of that. He saw the feeding of the 5,000. He had a bird's eye view of the miracles of Jesus. Then one day, a word spread around up in paradise. They're going to have a visitor for 4 days. His name was Lazarus. And Lazarus went up there to paradise. And Abel fellowshiped with Lazarus. And then one day, Lazarus heard he had to go back. And he griped and griped and griped and griped. I saw a man one time in Struthers, Ohio, an old preacher, probably 68 years old. I saw this old preacher, ought to be in a rest home somewhere. But he had died, and a nurse had given him some kind of resuscitation or respiration or perspiration or something, and he'd come back to life. And I went to see him, and he was mad. The nurse is right there. He said, "That's the woman that did it right there." Why, he said, "I was in heaven. She brought me back." And he said, "I don't like her at all." Well, Abel, up in heaven, he saw Lazarus come. And he saw how much fun Lazarus was having. Then one day, God said, "Lazarus, I'm going to bring you back." And Lazarus said, "Don't want to go." Abel said, don't send it back. You won't find this in this is in the HIV, Heil's International Version Bible. And but he saw Lazarus as he came back to the earth. Up there in paradise, he was happy himself one day when Jesus came to paradise. For you see, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says he went to paradise. Why? Because the layaway has been paid for now. Jesus paid it all. And so Jesus, the Bible says in Luke 23:43, that Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in heaven? No, in paradise. The thief on the cross said, I remember when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said, good night, that's 2,000 years away. Why, how about now? He said, kingdom, nothing, won't you? I'm going to paradise right now. I'd like to have somebody go with me. They got a deal on Southwest Airlines. Take a friend along free. And that's not really true. But Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in heaven? No, in paradise. And so Jesus went down to paradise, or to paradise, the heaven then, and he brought the saints who were there out of paradise. According to Ephesians 4:9, he went to paradise. And according to Matthew 27:52, their sukial soulish bodies came and walked about the streets of Jerusalem. And Abel was one of those. Abel was taken from paradise where he had been for 4,000 years. And now then, he's taken into heaven. Now we continue following our hero. He went to heaven, real heaven. And Jesus, he saw Jesus come back after he took him to heaven. Jesus came back because he had some work to do in his resurrection body. And Jesus was here almost a couple of months in his resurrection body, and Abel was up there in heaven. And Abel got to see Jesus come back to heaven this day. He got to see him when he was ascended back to the Father. And he got to see the reunion when the Father welcomed the Son back. And the Son's back home. And the angels rejoiced. He's been gone for these 33 years. Can you imagine the wonderful reception and reunion that took place in heaven? And Abel got to see that. Now, Abel is in heaven, the second heaven, called the third heaven, but it's the second in our outline. He was in paradise for 4,000 years. Now then, for these 2,000 years, he's been what we call the third heaven, or what we can now call heaven. He looked down and saw Pentecost. He saw Jesus standing looking down at Stephen and saw Stephen as he came to heaven. And he spent a short time with a special guest they had for a while because the Apostle Paul was stoned in Lystra and he was caught up to the third heaven. And Abel got to see Paul. And Paul got to see Abel. Paul said, Abel, I read about you, man. And that's one of the great things about heaven. Man alive, I'll get to see Elijah and fellowship with him and see what he looks like. And I like Elijah better because he didn't have any hair. I'm looking forward to seeing him. And Abel got acquainted with the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul, he went to heaven and he had to come back to the earth also. And Abel said goodbye to the Apostle Paul. Now, this is the heaven now. The one that Paul saw in 2 Corinthians 12:4. The one that Stephen saw in Acts 7:55. The one that was called gain in Philippians 1:21. The one that Paul wanted to go to in Philippians 1:23. The one that Jesus talked about in John 14:1-3, when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This is the one that Jesus talked about. It's the one where my mama is tonight. It's the one where your loved ones are who died in Christ tonight. And Abel is up there with them. And so Abel died, went to paradise, stayed there 4,000 years. Jesus went and got him, took in what's now the third heaven. He's there now with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's something he doesn't have that he wishes he had. He wishes he had his body. Revelation chapter 6 says that Abel is saying, how long, how long, how long? I want my body. I want my resurrection body. The Bible said before the foundation of the world that all God's people were already glorified. And Abel said, I want my soul and my body to get back together. I want my physical body. Revelation chapter 6 tells us about it. And then, one day, he gets his body. He will get his body. He's going to hear a shout. And going to hear the voice of the archangel. And all of a sudden, the old body of Abel that's been the grave 6,000 years, that body's going to rise from the grave. And it will be re-inhabited by the soul that left it 6,000 years ago. Why, you say, Brother Hiles, God, that body's been dead. It's been decayed. You can't find those bones. Oh, but God can find those bones. Remember that story in Ezekiel chapter 37 about the Valley of Dry Bones? I preached on at the college the other day. Valley of Dry Bones. Ezekiel saw these dry bones and said, what's this? And God said, this is the house of Israel. And all of a sudden God breathed, put sinew on those bones and put skin on those bones, put muscles on those bones and put blood in those bones. And they rose up and they live. And Abel will rise. And then all of us who are alive, I hope I'm still alive, the coming of the Lord, we shall be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and we shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. Now, Abel has been in paradise for 4,000 years. He's been in heaven for 2,000 years, the third heaven. Now, I want to talk to you about number three. He then goes to heaven in the air. And heaven will be in the air for 7 years. He will rise in the air, soul and body reunited. And then Abel will go to what's called the marriage of the Lamb. Jesus will, and by the way, so will I. And so will you if you're saved. And Jesus will be married, and I'll be a part of a lovely bride. And the Bible says that Abraham, that our wedding garment will be the righteousness of the saints, but the word righteousness there is the word righteous acts. And you, the loveliness of your wedding garment at the marriage of the Lamb will depend on how you serve God down here. The bride shall be clothed in righteousness of the saints. That means you folks watch your dirty soap operas, you're not going to have a very pretty wedding gown. That means you folks never win a soul to Christ, and nobody's going to be in heaven because of you. You're not going to have a pretty, very pretty wedding gown. That means you folks have forgot to bring your canned goods today. I'm saying that there's more to this thing of living righteous than just having a testimony on earth. The Bible says that you will be clothed at the marriage of the Lamb in your own righteous acts. Now, you get there because of His righteousness. But the rewards are because of your righteousness. So he's in the air, Abel is in the air at the marriage of the Lamb. And then Abel will go to, and when I say Abel, all of us will, he'll go to what's called the judgment seat of Christ. Now, he'll stand before the judgment seat. Now, he's not going to stand there to find whether or not he's going to go to heaven or heaven. It's not to be decided then whether he's going to go to heaven or hell. People talk about the general judgment where a fellow stands up before God and God says, let me check the book. And you got, am I going to go to heaven? I hope I've got more good deeds than bad deeds so I can go to heaven. And God said, okay, you got 11,644,917 good deeds. And you got 10,465,743 bad deeds. Enter in the joy of the Lord. No, sir, you don't go to heaven because you got more good than bad. You go to heaven because you trusted His good and not your own good. Then what is this? What is this judgment seat? It is the judgment seat where you stand before God, where He gives you your rewards for what you've done on earth. The Bible talks about several crowns shall be given. And you and I shall be given crowns, and we'll look at Jesus. And Jesus will give us the crowns at the judgment seat of Christ, it says. And then all of a sudden we'll realize that we don't deserve those crowns. It was not my strength, but His that caused me to serve Him. It was not my toil and my work, but His work that got me here. It was not my power, but His power that got all these people saved. It was not my energy, but His energy. It was not my spirit, but His spirit. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, while we're on earth, let's give Him all the glory. All the glory. It's He, it's Jesus that's done it. He's the one that saves our souls. He's built this great church. And all of a sudden, we'll have those crowns, and Jesus will put our crowns on, give us all our crowns, and suddenly we'll realize it was not our own strength and power. It was His strength and power. And we'll take our crowns off and throw them at Jesus' feet and say, Thou alone art worthy to receive power and glory and honor. Abel will take all the crowns he's gotten and throw them at Jesus' feet. That means that Abel for 4,000 years was in paradise. Jesus went to paradise and took him to heaven. Now he's been in heaven for 2,000 years. Soon when the trumpet sounds, Abel's body will come from the grave and his spirit will come from heaven. And the spirit will re-inhabit the body again. And Abel will be married to Jesus Christ. He'll have his glorified body. And his body will look just like the body of Jesus. And he'll be married to Jesus, and then he'll stand before the judgment seat and be given the rewards and crowns for all that he's done while he was on earth. And then he'll take those crowns and throw them at Jesus' feet. And then, at the end of that 7 years, God says, Abel, have you ever ridden a horse? Abel said, well, it's been 6,000 years. And God said, why don't you go practice up a little bit? Now, to me, I'm looking forward to that. Because horses and I never have gotten in rhythm. When I ride a horse, when I go down, he goes up. When I come up, he goes down. And we sort of like that, the way we do it. It's not like that. I haven't learned yet when I haven't learned nothing about it. Abel is, and Jesus is going to say, Abel, this is my horse. I'm going to ride this one. We're going to go back down on earth where you lived back yonder 6,000 years ago, and we're going to take over down there. So Jesus gets on his horse. Abel gets on his horse. Hernandez gets on his horse. And Tom Vogel gets on his horse. And Scott gets on his horse. Oh, he needs a little pony. Moffat gets on his horse. McKinney gets on a Sherman tank. And Abel and Jesus and all of us are going to come back to the earth on a white horse. And then Jesus and Abel and I will put down the Antichrist, and Jesus shall become King of all the earth. He came the first time to be despised. He's coming the second time to be honored. He came the first time to a cross. He's coming the second time to a throne. He came the first time to wear a crown of thorns. He's coming the second time to wear a crown of glory. No, he came the first time on a donkey. He's coming the second time on a white horse. He came the first time to be crucified. He's coming the second time to be crowned. He came the first time to be jeered on a cross. He's coming the second time to be cheered on a throne. He came the first time to be judged for sin. He comes the second time to judge sinners. He came the first time to be a servant of servants. He's coming the second time to be King of kings and Lord of lords. He came the first time to be crucified outside the city. He's coming the second time to rule inside the city. He came the first time to a manger. He's coming the second time to a palace. He came the first time to use a borrowed walking stick. He's coming the second time with a royal scepter. He came the first time to be hated. He's coming the second time to be loved. He came the first time to offer peace. He's coming the second time as the Prince of Peace. He came the first time as the Lamb of God. He's coming the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He came the first time to stand before Pilate. He'll come the second time and Pilate will stand before him. He came the first time in a borrowed overcoat. He comes the second time in a royal robe. He came the first time as a man of sorrows. He comes the second time as a God of splendor. He came the first time acquainted with grief. He's coming the second time acquainted with the Heavenly Father. He came the first time to Joseph's house. He's coming the second time to his father's house. He came the first time to submit himself to rulers and kings. He comes the second time to rule and be the king.
He came the first time in an earthly body. He comes the second time in a glorified body. He came the first time to a crib. He's coming the second time to a crown. He came the first time to Bethlehem. He's coming the second time to Jerusalem. He came the first time to become a curse. And hallelujah, the second time He's coming to lift that curse. He came the first time and His own received Him not. He's coming the second time to be crowned by His own as King of the whole world. He came the first time announced by angels. He's coming the second time with the holy angels. He came the first time to be Jesus the Savior. He's coming the second time to be Christ the King. He came the first time as the means of peace. He's coming the second time as the Prince of Peace. He came the first time with shouts of crucify Him, crucify Him. He's coming the second time with shouts of crown Him, crown Him, crown Him, Lord of all. He came the first time to say, come unto me. He's coming the second time to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He came the first time to offer Himself to us. He's coming the second time to force Himself on this whole world. He came the first time to be alone. He's coming the second time to be adored. He came the first time to be beaten. He's coming the second time to be betrothed. He came the first time to be crucified. He's coming the second time to be crowned. He came the first time as a deliverer. He's coming the second time to wear a diadem. He came the first time to empty Himself. He's coming the second time to be exalted. He came the first time to be forsaken. He comes the second time to reign forever. He came the first time to the grave. He comes the second time to be glorified. He came the first time to be hated. He's coming the second time to be hallowed. He came the first time to be ignored. He's coming the second time to be inaugurated as King of the whole world. He came the first time to be jeered. He's coming the second time to be jubilant. He came the first time to be killed. He's coming the second time to be the King. He came the first time as the lowly one. He's coming the second time as the lauded one. He came the first time to be misunderstood. He's coming the second time to be magnified. He came the first time to be nailed to a cross. He's coming the second time to be given a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He came the first time to be overlooked. He's coming the second time to be on the throne. He came the first time to be pierced. He's coming the second time to be a prince. He came the first time to be the quiet one who opened not His mouth. He's coming the second time to judge the quick and the dead. He came the first time to be rejected. He's coming the second time to be restored. He came the first time to be slain. He's coming the second time to be Savior of the world. He came the first time to be tried. He's coming the second time transfigured. He came the first time to uphold. He's coming the second time to upbraid. He came the first time to be a victim. He's coming the second time to gain vengeance. He came the first time to be wounded. He's coming the second time, the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He came the first time to yield. He's coming the second time to rule on Mount Zion. And Abel and I and every other redeemed one will come with Him, riding on white horses, coming with Him to establish a kingdom on earth. Hey! Don't miss it! Don't miss it. I said don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't trust the Pope. Don't trust your church. Don't trust the baptistry. Don't trust the Lord's Supper table. Don't trust the sacraments. Don't trust your confirmation. Don't trust your confession of your sin to El Papa. You put your faith in the coming Savior and the crucified Christ.
Then that leads us to another heaven. He's been Abel, our hero, since he died in Eden's garden. He's been to paradise. He stayed there for 4,000 years. He was then transferred by Jesus Himself to heaven, the third heaven, where He's been for 2,000 years. And then His body shall be raised and His spirit shall re-enter His body. And He shall be in the heaven in the air for 7 years. And there the marriage of the Lamb and the judgment seat of Christ. And then He returns with Jesus and all the saints, and Jesus establishes His kingdom on earth. And that leads us to heaven on earth. Heaven
the paradise. Heaven now, the third heaven. Heaven in the air for 7 years. And now heaven on earth. For 1,000 years, Abel will live on earth. 1,000 years, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run. His kingdom shall spread from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. Isaiah 2:4 and Micah 4:3 says, in that 1,000 years, men shall beat their swords and their plowshares and their spears and their pruning hooks. In that 1,000 years, Isaiah 65:20 says, a man who dies at the age of 100, people call it an infant death. Zechariah 14:9 says that Jesus shall be king of all the earth. Move aside, Mr. Clinton. Move aside, counterfeit. The genuine thing is coming. And brother, if a lot of Christian people would get more concerned about getting people to this kingdom and spend more time being bus captains and soul winners than precinct captains, we'd get some folks to be on the earth during when Jesus becomes the head of the show. Step aside, Mr. Castro. Step aside, kings of the earth. Step aside, United Nations. Step aside, Congress. Step aside, Supreme Court. Only one ruler of the entire world, that's Jesus. Supreme Court will have one member, and that's Jesus. House of Representatives will have one member, and that's Jesus. Senate will have one member, and that's Jesus. Hammond School Board will have one member, and that's Jesus. And he shall be king of all the earth for 1,000 years. During that 1,000 years, every year, each of us is going to take a trip to the Holy Land. And he'll be reigning there, and every year we'll get to go see him. You think our hearts won't beat with joy? Brother Board will come and say, preacher, I can't be leading the singing. Next Sunday, I'm going to the Holy Land. And I'm going to get to see him. And I'm going to sit at the table and see his hands wounded for my sins. And I'm going to sit at the table. The Bible says every year we'll have communion again, sit down at the table with Jesus in the Holy Land. Won't be any taverns. Because the Bible says we shall be kings and priests of God. And we shall rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, and then I'll fix that traffic out on Sibley like I want it. We won't have a referendum about casinos in Hammond. I'll decide. Here's an old, old story, but I'll tell it again because I don't have anything to say right now. As I get my pants pulled up here. I tell this on the first and third Sunday of every month. And sometimes second and fourth if I don't have much time to study during the week. I went down to this bank down here years ago when I first came to Hammond. I need to borrow some money. I've been here long enough to have a pretty good credit rating. I went down and I said, I want to see the president of the bank. He came in and I said, I'd like to borrow some money, please. He said, sure, Reverend, you got a good credit rating. How much do you want? I said, $5,000. Now, $5,000 in those days is a lot of money. Still a lot of money. But it's a lot of money back in those days. $5,000 in those days would be about $50,000 now. And I was on board $5,000. Well, the bank president was sitting behind his desk, and I was here in front. And he said, Reverend, I can't. What kind of collateral do you have? I said, my word. He said, I'd need some solid collateral. I said, you won't find any collateral more solid than my word. He said, what kind of security? I said, my signature. Well, he said, Reverend, it'd be a little irregular that you borrow $5,000 just on your signature. I said, good, I need an irregular $5,000. He finally stood up from his desk and he said, Reverend, I'm sorry, but I can't let you have the money. And I said, I'm going to ask you one more time. If I walk out the door of that bank without a check for $5,000, I said, when I take over this bank, you'll starve. Boy, he pushed his chair back from his desk. He said, when you what? I said, you heard what I said. When I take over this bank, hey, wake that guy up there. Push it. Wake him up. Hey, this time. Hey, wake up. We're in church, man. Get up there. Hey, wake up. Jesus just came. We're up in the air right now. But he's going to take you. The Bible said he'll take those that are asleep in Jesus when he comes. He's going to take the Presbyterians too, because it says he's going to take the quick and the dead. But back to where I was in the bank. He said, "You going to take over this bank?" I said, "That's right." He said, "Just when do you plan to take over this bank?" I said, "During the millennium, that's when." He said, "During the millennium?" I said, "The millennium." He said, "Reverend, what in the world is the millennium?" And I said, "You ask." I said, "You get your vice presidents and your secretaries in that little room right there. There's a conference room over here." And I said, "I'll tell you what the millennium is, and I'll tell you when I'm going to take over this bank." He called his vice presidents and the officers and secretaries, and 25 people got around that big conference table. Little old hellfire and damnation preacher sat down at the end of that table. I opened my Bible to Isaiah 65. Opened my Bible to Isaiah 11. Opened my Bible to Revelation chapter 20. Opened my Bible to Daniel chapter 7. I told him about the time when Jesus would rule and reign on Mount Zion. I told him about the time when we'd not have war and not hurt and destroy in the holy mountain. I told him about the time when God's people were going to... And I said, "Mr. Mayor," I said, "the Bible says... I think it's in Luke chapter 19 that some people are going to rule over 10 cities when we rule the world for 1,000 years. And some people are going to rule over 5 cities. But I said, "Mr. Mayor, I've asked God for 1 city, and that's Hammond, Indiana. And I'll take over Hammond. When I take over Hammond, I'm taking over this bank. And as I take over this bank, I'll be sitting in that chair where you sat a while ago before we came in this conference room. And you'll walk in and you'll say, 'Reverend, could I borrow some money, please?' And I'll say, 'Do you have any collateral?' And you'll say, 'Yeah, my word.' I say, 'That's not enough. Will you have any security?' And you'll say, 'My signature.' And I'll say, 'That's not enough.' And I said, 'Mr. President, you mark my word. If I don't walk out that door with $5,000, I'll promise you for 1,000 years you'll starve because I'll be running this city.'" He jumped up, beat the desk, and said to his secretary, "Quick, write Reverend Howells a check for $5,000. And I walked out of there with a check for $5,000. I'm saying, hey, enjoy yourself, liberal Supreme Court. Enjoy yourself, liberal Congress. Enjoy yourself, United Nations. One day, we're taking over this whole world. 1,000 years. Abel, who has been for 4,000 years in paradise. I sort of envy Abel. He got to see them all. Paradise, 4,000 years. Heaven for 2,000 years. In the air for 7 years. Back to the earth for 1,000 years. During that 1,000 years, Satan shall be bound. And we shall rule and reign with Christ. Revelation 21 through 6. Luke 19, 17 through 19. Abel has one more little mop-up job. There comes at the end of that 1,000 years the great white throne judgment, when all the bodies of the unsaved people will be raised from the grave, and their souls that have been burning in the fires of hell for all the years since they died. And by the way, if you die without Christ, you will go straight to the fires of hell and torment. And you'll burn in hell. You say, "Preacher, this is a cultured age." If it's a cultured, then believe the Bible. My Bible says the beginning of wisdom starts at the Word of God. And the Bible says we shall judge the world. And Abel sits there with Jesus at the great white throne judgment, when all the Hitlers and Mussolinis and Kaiser Wilhelms, when all the wicked, the Kennedy clan who caused orphans and broken homes and wrecked lives, had wrecks and creeks. All the Kennedy clan stands before God, and all the whoremongers and all the pimps and all the liquor dealers and all those who drank it and lived a life without Christ shall stand before God. The great white throne judgment. 6,000 years. More than that. Be at least 7,000 years. Cain's been in hell. Oh God, let me out. Oh God, let me out. I'm tormented in these flames. All of a sudden the door of hell opens. And Cain says, "I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I'm getting out. It's finally over.
Cain's body come from the grave, and his soul come from the hell right now. And his body and soul are united, and he stands before God Almighty. And God will say, Cain, is your name in the book? And Cain will say, look, I came to church regularly. God said, but is your name in the book? Cain said, I brought a better offering than Abel. He said, is your name in the book? But I lived a pretty good life. He'll say, is your name in the book? He'll say, well, I brought a sacrifice. Abel. The Heavenly Father will say, you lived with Cain, didn't you? Yes. Did he go to church? Yes, he did. Did he bring a blood sacrifice? No, he didn't. Did he believe in the coming Messiah as the Lamb of God? No, he did not. And Cain will judge Abel with Jesus at the great white throne. And then Abel will be cast, both body and soul, into hell. Our Cain will, and as Abel looks down and sees his brother cast body and soul into hell, he looks up and he sees in Revelation 1:2 the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for his husband. That city 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high, and 1,500 miles long. That city with streets of pure gold and gates of pearl and foundations of precious jewel. That city where no tear will ever drop on the pavement of gold. That city where no crape will ever darken the doorknob. That city where no ambulance will ever rush down the street with its loud noises. That street where no medical people would need to be employed. That city where no hospitals will ever darken the horizon. That city where no tombstones will ever rise. That city where you'll never pull over because there's a group of cars coming down a funeral processional. That city where nobody will ever find out he has cancer. That city where doctors will be out of business. That city where Jesus shall live and we shall live and rule and reign with him forever and ever and ever. That city where nobody will ever have AIDS. That city where nobody will ever have heart attack. That city with no broken lives, broken hearts, broken dreams, broken air castles. That city where nobody will have a headache and nobody will have arthritis. And that city where nobody will be blind and nobody will be deaf. And won't need any rescue mission. Won't need any blind department. Won't need any deaf department. Won't need any educable slow department. That city where we'll live with Christ forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We started back down in the Garden of Eden. We took Abel to paradise for 4,000 years. We took him to heaven for 2,000 years, the third heaven. And we took him to the air for 7 years in the next heaven. We brought him on earth for 1,000 years in the next heaven. And now we have him forever and ever and ever in the holy city. The new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Where did it start? How did he get here? What am I doing here? Gates of pearl, streets of gold. Look at it. There's Jesus walking by right now. Hey, Paul, I read your books. Between television shows, I read your books. Paul, hey, Paul. Hey, Elijah. How you doing? Good morning, Elisha. Morning. Hello there, John the Baptist. How you doing? This is wonderful. Boy, I thought that paradise was wonderful, and it was. Man, for 4,000 years, I thought this was the cat's meow. But he said, then I got to go to heaven for 2,000 years. Boy, he said, that was something that beat paradise. But then he said, I got to go up in the air, and I got to see Jesus, and that did sure beat anything else. And I got my glorified body. And then he said, I've been ruling on earth for 1,000 years. That's wonderful, but boy, this is it. What I do deserve is nothing, Abel. Nothing. Abel, it all goes back way back yonder when your daddy said, Abel, I want to talk to you. Since your mom and I sinned, there's been a curse fall on our race. And there's a price on that sin. We're going to go to hell if something doesn't happen. But Abel, out yonder one day, God Himself is going to come to the earth and He's going to become an offering. Now, if you're willing to trust Him, that coming Messiah as your Savior, you can go to heaven. Paradise, heaven, Air, Millennium, New Jerusalem, whatever you want to call it. You can go there, Abel. But what good works do I have to do? Nothing. Just trust the coming Messiah and this coming Savior. Abel says, I will. And just as folks get baptized now to show it, he brings his animal sacrifice. Not to save him, but to show he was already saved and to show the world the same thing that baptismal pool shows when you get saved and baptized. Why is Abel over there in the New Jerusalem? Because one time he took time to say yes to Jesus Christ. And if you go to that heavenly city, you'll have to take some time in your life where you look at yourself and realize that you're a sinner. And sinners are lost. And Christ Jesus paid the price on Calvary for sinners, and you trust Him as your Savior and your hope for heaven. I'm finished with my 16 sermons on heaven. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. I dreamed of a place that's called heaven. Sweet home of the happy and free. Sweet haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. My mama and I used to sing that together like Miss Colston played it just a while ago. Used to sing a song, I don't know it, except the title of it, I Dreamed I Searched Heaven for You. Search vainly in heaven for you, so won't you prepare to meet me up there, because I dreamed I searched heaven for you. Would you bow your heads, please? One question. Are you going to heaven when you die? Guarantee you your health?